Good morning, and welcome to the United Financial Bancorp Incorporated First Quarter 2014 Earnings Conference Call. All participants will be in a listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw a question, please press star, then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Marlee Shaw. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our first quarter conference call. Before we begin, we would like to remind you to read our Safe Harbor advisement on forward-looking statements on our earnings announcement. Forward-looking statements, by their nature, are subject to risks and uncertainties. Certain factors could cause actual results to differ materially from expected results. Our comments today are intended to qualify for the safe harbor afforded by that advisement. And now I would like to introduce Bill Crawford, our Chief Executive Officer.
Thanks, Marlee. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on today's call and for your continued interest in our company during this very exciting time in our history. Yesterday afternoon, we released first quarter 2014 earnings. And more importantly, last week, we announced that United Financial Bancorp, Inc. and Rockwell Financial completed their transformational merger of equals. This morning, I'll provide an update on the progress the company is making towards its post-close goals, and then Eric Newell, our CFO, will provide a brief overview of the quarter. In addition to Eric with me this morning is Marino Santarelli, our Chief Operating Officer, Scott Bechtel, our Chief Risk Officer, Mark Kusha, our Chief Credit Officer, and Brandon Laurie, Head of Consumer Lending. The company achieved legal close as of the end of business, April 30, 2014, and our team is diligently working toward a fourth quarter data conversion. We have every reason to believe data integration will be completed as scheduled and the subsequent target cost savings will be achieved. United will be transformed over the coming year into a highly efficient growth company focused on providing a differentiated customer experience. The company is intensely focused on achieving the 2015 performance metric goals communicated to our investors at the time the merger was announced. During the first quarter of 2014, the company continued to enjoy strong loan and deposit growth. We had 10% annualized loan growth and 17% annualized deposit growth, and our commercial and industrial residential pipelines remained solid. Especially commendable is the strong organic growth we've experienced despite our team's emphasis over the past quarter directed toward obtaining regulatory approval and shareholder approvals, achieving legal close, and working toward data integration. I'd like to thank my United Bank teammates and the board of directors for their dedication and hard work to execute on our united vision to combine these two great companies. I'm very bullish for our prospects in the years ahead. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Eric Newell, our CFO, to provide some further detail on the quarter's results.
Thank you, Bill, and good morning. Yesterday afternoon, we reported core net income of $2.1 million, or 8 cents per share, for the standalone legacy Rockville Financial first quarter results. Our GAAP net income results continue to be influenced by merger and acquisition expense, which totaled $1.8 million pre-tax in the quarter. At the time of our merger announcement in November, we disclosed one-time merger expenses for the transaction estimated to total $34 million pre-tax, and we will continue to see merger expenses recognized throughout the remainder of 2014. Despite having the ability to categorize eligible expenses as merger and acquisition costs in our financial statements, there are actions related to the merger which will provide future benefits to the company and thereby are not considered one-time in nature and influence other reported expense categories. Consequently, these items negatively impacted our core net income. Salaries and benefits expense is a good example of this impact. During the quarter, we announced the onboarding of David Paulson and Sam Patel, who have respectively been chosen to lead our wholesale banking and information technology business lines in the combined company. Furthermore, we onboarded top-producing mortgage loan officers from within the Connecticut region as well as southern Massachusetts. Both of these actions, which will better position the combined company for growth, had one-time onboarding expenditures influencing our core net income. Other factors responsible for the linked quarter rise in salaries and benefits expense were higher health insurance costs driven by a claims experience and seasonality of employment taxes. During the quarter, interest rates declined nearly 30 basis points when using the 10-year Treasury as a proxy. Given our decision to fair value our mortgage servicing portfolio in 2013, our results will be impacted by changes in the value of the mortgage servicing rights. In the quarter, the value of the MSR was reduced by $138,000 compared to a $244,000 benefit in the linked quarter due to the significant increase in rates during that period. The $382,000 unfavorable delta is driven purely by the change in interest rates during the 2 month periods. Legacy Rockville was able to grow its residential mortgage purchase volume during the first quarter to $39 million, which was $23 million better than in the first quarter of the prior year. We attribute this increased growth to onboarding and continued contribution of top-producing loan officers with strong and deep relationships in the communities they serve, as well as a highly efficient and responsive underwriting and originations team, allowing us to reduce the overall application to close timeframe by over 36% compared to a year ago. The gain on sale of loans increased on a linked quarter basis to $456,000, which is attributable to a disciplined pricing strategy within our local communities, which will better position the company for selling mortgages in the secondary market at spreads that add more shareholder value than if we were to portfolio the loan. As I stated on our fourth quarter earnings call, we continue to generally see better opportunities for shareholder value creation when we portfolio loans versus selling them into the secondary market. Consequently, a majority of our mortgage loan originations were placed in the portfolio during the quarter. And looking forward to the second quarter, we see more opportunity to sell into the secondary market, which may drive gain on sale income, with one caveat. Since the rise of interest rates in the middle of 2013, we have seen a strong preference for adjustable rate mortgages in our markets. If we continue to see this preference over fixed rate mortgages, we may experience lower than expected gain on sale of income due to our intent to portfolio adjustable rate mortgages. Our net interest margin was impacted by some one-time items as discussed in our earnings release. We experienced accelerated premium amortization from an SBA guaranteed takeout, reducing interest income and the yield on the investment portfolio, as well as non-core timing of interest recognition in the commercial portfolio from a prepayment of a large loan as associated prepayment income, which positively impacted net interest margin. We estimate that when each of these non-core items are removed, that net interest margin would have been relatively stable from the fourth quarter versus the 6 basis point compression the company reported. Importantly, however, will be what the company will report going forward with a combined balance sheet. In our due diligence process, we had a negligible interest rate mark on the legacy United balance sheet, meaning purchase accounting would not obfuscate the margins of the legacy United book when combined with legacy Rockville. While the level of interest rates are largely unchanged since our due diligence process, we continue to work with an independent firm to provide interest rate marks on the legacy United balance sheet, and we'll be able to share more about the results of that process in our second quarter disclosures. As Bill mentioned, our focus for the remainder of the year is multifaceted. First, we will continue our conversion work to ensure a positive experience for our customers during what looks to be a fourth quarter event. Next, we will provide our producers the tools needed to support sales and production that adds value to our shareholders. And finally, we will begin to implement identified cost saves and be determined in our identification and elimination of inefficient processes, all with a goal of achieving our stated 2015 goals. Thank you for your time this morning, and now the management team and I would be happy to answer any questions you have.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset prior to pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. We have a question from Chris Jackson from Stern AG. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, I just have one question. I wanted to touch on expenses a bit. In addition to the $1.8 million in merger-related expenses, were there any other non-recurring merger-related expenses?
Eric, I'll let you take that one.
In the salaries and the benefits line, I mean, the onboarding of executives and loan officers and the prepared commentary, a lot of that was taken in anticipation of the merger, and I would say that that's definitely related. And we also had some marketing spend that was
related to the merger as well.
Okay, great. That's all I had. Thanks a lot.
Our next question is from Marcus Gibson from Sandler O'Neill. Please go ahead, sir. Sir, Mark? Our next question is from Travis Land from KBW. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. Would you be able, I'm assuming not based on the answer to the last question, but could you quantify for us in any way, you know, what those kind of non-recurring but non-merger charges would be? Just to get a better idea of what the kind of core run rate was for the expenses?
I would say we're probably looking at like $700,000 of spend pre-tax in the quarter that wasn't in the M&A line.
Okay. And then those onboarding costs that you're referring to, I mean, those are, you know, kind of search and, you know, one-time payments as opposed to, I mean, that runs off basically.
Yes. Yeah.
Those are signing, like sign-on bonuses,
gotcha.
Search bonuses, bridge payments to mortgage lenders, so one-time in nature.
Gotcha. Okay, helpful. And then the press release indicates that you guys are satisfied kind of with the addition of some of the adjustable loans that you saw last year and this quarter as well, and that now you'll kind of turn back to some longer duration, higher yielding stuff. Should we take that to mean that we could see a kind of acceleration of loan growth here? Not that it was, I mean, it was very strong as it was, but, you know, just
yeah,
that you kind of...
Yeah, on Legacy Rockville, what I would say about that is first quarter is usually our slowest quarter. And so we would expect commercial on Legacy Rockville to be stronger in the second quarter, and we have momentum in our residential mortgage and consumer business. We're still getting our hands around United as we just merged a couple days ago.
Sure, sure.
But we also, you know, the pipeline's there too.
Right, right. And I know it's only been a couple days, so I don't know if there's any answer for this question or not, but just talk a little bit about loan pricing in your market, specifically, you know, if there's any difference that you're seeing between Connecticut and Springfield, again, understanding it's only been a week, but then also just if you kind of quantify where new CRE and C&I yields are coming on the books.
Sure. Mark, I'll let you take that one. I would say that, you know, the overall yields, et cetera, pricing are pretty similar between Connecticut and Massachusetts. You know, the market remains competitive, whether you're in Connecticut or Massachusetts. So we're not seeing any real big differentials there. Rates right now, you're probably looking at fives, five-year rates, somewhere high threes to low to mid fours, and 10-year rates are low fives to mid fives, somewhere in that range.
Okay. All right, that's helpful. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. Our next question is from Mark Fitzgibbon from Sandler O'Neill. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Mark.
I apologize. I got on the call a little bit late, so if these questions have been asked, I apologize. First, I wondered if you could share with us your outlook for the NIM for the combined company going forward.
Sure. Eric, I'll let you take that.
Well, I think it's a little premature to kind of talk about the NIM on a combined basis just because I don't have the purchase or the interest marks on the Legacy United portfolio yet. So, you know, if even though rates are kind of at the same level during the due diligence process, you know, it would be a lot better for me to probably wait to answer that question.
Okay.
But how about this? I think if we saw a 10-year, you know, that was higher than the 260 that we've seen in the last couple of days, which would mean a steeper yield curve, that's obviously going to be much more beneficial for us than maybe the shape of the curve that we're seeing today.
Okay. And then secondly, for the combined company with more of the revenues coming from Massachusetts, will you think the effective tax rate will sort of nudge up from the 33% level in 1Q?
Very good question. Again, I apologize. I don't have a good answer for you at this point, but we just recently onboarded some talent there to help us kind of manage that effective tax rate. So we're definitely going to be looking at that.
Okay. And then lastly, I don't know if I saw it in the release anywhere, but how much of your mortgage volume was fixed rate and how much of it was hybrid ARMs?
Eric's getting that for you.
So it's about 50-50. So about, I would say about 60% plus or minus, yeah, the actually probably were fixed rate with the rest ARM.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and there's a standard ARM, so we're not offering any of the, you know, they're just 7-10 type ARMs, nothing outside the norm there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
And showing no further questions, this will conclude our question and answer session. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Bill Crawford for any closing remarks.
Okay, well, thank you for the interest in our interest in the company. The day one went very well, and we're working very diligently to get the cost saves we outlined when we announced the deal. And we're doing a lot of work on the culture with these two companies, and we're working very diligent towards our Q4 integration. Thanks for your interest, and if you ever have any questions, let us know. Have a great day.
The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines.